Merry Christmas. My name is Gabriel, and I am an angel. Yes, I can see by the looks on your faces that I am just not what you expected, am I? I am not very surprised. You know, I have actually seen some of your artists' paintings of we angels. Let me tell you, whatever artistic merit they have, they are not accurate. Why do artists try to make us look like chubby little babies on soft clouds that are decorating packages of bathroom tissue? Why? Let me be very clear. We belong to the army of God, his heavenly host we are called. We are a mighty, terrible host surrounded by the blinding glory of God's holiness. In fact, I usually start all my conversations with humans using these words, "Do not be afraid." Just about every time humans see us, they just fall down, cannot talk, and become so very afraid. And you know, my primary job is not even a militant one. You should see my brother Michael. Now, he is quite a fearsome angel to behold. No, make no mistake. Even though we angels have different ranks, orders, duties, and tasks, together we make up a real army, one in which no human force could ever stand a chance against. And if we angels can be so fearsome, what do you think our Commander-in-Chief Jesus Christ is like? Oh, he is righteous, holy, and loving for sure, and holiness has no fear of him. But sin does. Sin, evil, and wickedness will melt in his presence. And this world is not a holy world. It is a sinful one. This is the season when many of you humans think of the time our chief came to earth in that little manger. And you should remember that wonderful event. But you must never forget why he came in the first place. One of your songwriters wrote, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining." That means the world is living in the grief of wickedness. And for that reason, the coming of our righteous and holy God, Jesus Christ, can be a fearful thing.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
My job was to bring the news of this wonderful event that you call the Christmas story. I do enjoy being a bearer of good news to you humans. Joseph had no idea what God would put him through when he found his wife to be pregnant with child. I remember bringing this good news to Joseph as if it were only yesterday.
Well, I'm just a simple craftsman. My hands tell you that I work with tools. You can look at them and see a history of the work I do. I always seem to have a cut or a scar on them of some kind. You know, I can usually look at a man's hands and read his work. Fishermen, for instance, have very different hands than farmers do. Me? No, I'm a carpenter. Well, I come from the house and the family of David, you know. My name is Joseph. Oh, I suppose I had a reputation of being honest and honorable. So where in the world did I get off marrying a girl who was pregnant? Yeah, she was expecting before I married her. It was an arranged marriage by our families. And, well, I guess I always knew that the first son of Jacob would marry the first daughter of Eli. But the way things happen, well, the son of Jacob, that's me, I came along quite a few years before the first daughter of Eli did. I watched Mary grow up. All my friends were married and had children while she was still just a little girl. Well, I took some teasing from my friends about getting gray hair before getting a wife, and I can handle teasing. It's what followed that I wasn't prepared for. See, after our betrothal and before the marriage, Mary went for a few months to visit her cousin up in the hill country. But when she came back, it was all too obvious. She was showing. Well, what was I supposed to do? I mean, that's not the kind of man I am. I couldn't believe it of Mary either, but there it was. So I had two choices. First, I could take her to the court before the elders and prove that she had been unfaithful. Well, a lawsuit like that, it would clear my name, but it'd sure be hard on Mary. She'd be liable to the full punishment of the law. And that was a frightening thing to consider. All the rabbis had provided exceptions and modifications to a situation like that, so I knew Mary was not likely to be put to death, but still, I didn't want to take her to court. My other choice, give her a simple bill of divorcement. I could do this privately without getting into all the legal affairs of the court, and it wouldn't clear my name, but boy, it'd sure be easier on her and her family. So that seemed like the reasonable choice, and that was the plan. But then in a dream, one of God's angels paid me a visit. Do you know what he told me? He started right off by saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid." And he told me to marry her anyway. Can you believe that? But he told me not to be afraid to marry her because that baby growing inside her was from the Holy Spirit. He told me we should name him Jesus, which means God saves, because that baby was to save people from their sins. Was I afraid? You can be sure I was. I wasn't afraid to of obeying the angel. I was afraid of disobeying. I mean, as the son of David in the legal line of his throne, I had a responsibility that was larger than my own personal concerns. If God, by his Spirit, had put this baby into Mary's womb, well, then I had better agree if he wanted to appoint me to be Mary's husband. How do you argue with God's plan? I had to change my thinking. So I did not cancel the wedding, and I let the villagers talk. That was hard. Well, we went to Bethlehem for the Roman census, and that's where our little boy was born. Shepherds came at night to see him, and they said angels had visited them too, out in the field, shouting praises to God for our son's birth. You imagine that? Well, the next week we took our little boy into Jerusalem to the temple, and it seemed like a good idea just to stay there in Bethlehem. Not so many whispering neighbors, you see. And we might have stayed there a long time, but then these magi came from the east to visit our little boy and to worship him. Now, I don't understand all the details, but evidently their dealings with Herod put us in grave danger. So that's when the angel visited me again in yet another dream. This time he said, pick up and move to Egypt, away from Herod. So we moved again. After a while, Herod died. But Archelaus was the next Roman puppet king, and I didn't want to be in his way. So we moved one last time. And this time we moved back to Galilee, back to Nazareth. Maybe not so many whispering neighbors at this time. Well, I held that little boy's hands, and I trained them to do a carpenter's work. I mean, after all, King David had started out as a simple shepherd. Well, this little boy could be a carpenter. But then what? Well, he was a good carpenter, but I knew he wouldn't do that for long. He had other business angels talked about, business that brought magi from the east, business that frightens the tin-crowned kings of this world. Well, I didn't get to see how it all turned out with my own eyes. I wasn't there. But I can usually look at a man's hands and read his work. You show me his hands, and I'll show you his work.
Yet another man filled with wonder, and even some fear as to who this child was. In fact, that child filled the whole world with wonder, so that many did ask, and still ask, "What child is this?" What child is this? The answer to that question frightened one man terribly. He saw the boy child not as a desperately needed hope, but as a threat. He was one of those tin-crowned kings. The fear of that child drove this man to do many wicked things, horrible things. And his name was Herod.
Go away! Go away! You're another one of those useless doctors! Well, leave me alone and let me die in peace. What? You're not a doctor? Did you come to plead for all of those people I hold captive? Well, if so, save your breath. When I die, they shall all be slain. There will be mourning in the land at my death. What? You came to hear about what? The Magi in Bethlehem? Those fools were looking for one born king of the Jews. I am the king of the Jews! Any other talk is treason. Don't look at me so. It was a minor affair, a small village, a no place. The death of a few children, no one cares. Wise men, they were funny, walked right in and asked to see the baby born king of the Jews. Did they know nothing of me? How dare they? Or were they being clever? Nothing more secret than that which is too obvious, huh? Yeah, well, I got the better of them. First, I called for my scribes and the teachers, and I asked them, what about this? Is there a prophecy about someone to be born king? The scribes said there will be a king. The prophets wrote that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was to be the new David, whose throne would be an everlasting throne. Well, whoever said that doesn't know Herod the Great. But I fooled them. I said, go to Bethlehem, find the baby, and come back and lead me to him so I can worship him too. Ha! As if I would bow my knee to anyone. But they lied. Those wise men never came back. My soldiers chased after them, but to no avail. Did they really think they could protect this child by running away? I knew where he was, Bethlehem. They thought they had protected the boy, but their scheme brought death to many sons. Oh, you are weak. I can see it in your eyes. You pity the mothers of Bethlehem. But their sons died for their country. Any mother of Bethlehem should be proud to have her son die so that the king could have his throne. The babies of Bethlehem died for a kingdom. Can't you see? You tell me. If you had a throne, would you surrender it? Would you bow to one like that and call him Lord? Well, I don't give up my throne to anyone, not to the Parthians, not to Cleopatra, and certainly not to a baby from Bethlehem. A new David come back for his throne. An everlasting throne. An everlasting kingdom. An ancient promise that said, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, who are little among the clans of Judah, yet from you shall come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from Ancient of Days. What a throne that would be. What a king.
But the boy child did come. Herod's evil cannot stop Jesus, for man's wickedness could never stop God's holiness. And come he did, for Jesus is God. This dark and cold world was in desperate need of hope, the kind of hope that only God himself could bring. And hope God brought. Did you know that another name they called Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us? I do not believe I mentioned it, but do you know the word angel actually means messenger? That is an important job of mine as I serve in my God's army. For instance, I was the one who told Daniel the meaning of King Belshazzar's vision. When Daniel saw me, he fell flat on his face, out cold. I have been called upon to deliver many incredible messages, but none can compare with the message of the coming boy child, Jesus Christ. What made that message so wonderful, so fantastic? It was a message of hope. The kind I had the good pleasure to bring that message to none other than Mary herself. She seemed like a child herself at the time, but wisdom soon followed her. She would long reflect on the work God had done in sending his son, Jesus Christ.
It began with the wonder of the angel Gabriel. My father was in the field, and my mother had gone to market. I was mending clothes, and I was daydreaming about Joseph, the man I had been betrothed to Mary. Suddenly, I was startled. I looked at the doorway, and there stood a stranger. I thought he must be seeking my father. I would have told him to go, but he stepped through the door and spoke to me. Hail, woman, richly blessed. The Lord is with you. Who was this? What did he want? He didn't seem dangerous in a threatening way, but neither did he seem altogether safe. He seemed quite different. Then I realized this was an angel. But what did he mean by calling me highly favored one? My family was not special. We were poor, humble people. We lived in Nazareth, not Jerusalem. Everyone from Nazareth was considered to be something of a hick. The angel didn't leave me time to think. He continued by saying, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." The angel then foretold that this son would be the Son of the Most High, and that God would give him the throne of King David, and that he would be an eternal king, reigning forever. Were all the old prophecies coming true at once? I had often heard the scripture read in the synagogue, and many times I had listened as my father talked with the other men in the village about the coming Son of David. One time a traveling rabbi had taught in the synagogue all the promises of Messiah. Our family did trace its ancestry to David. Could I be living in the time when these things would come to pass? But how could any son of mine ever reign on the throne of David? The throne of David descended through the line of Solomon, while my family tree goes back to David through his son Nathan, who was never king of Israel. So if my son were to sit on David's throne, that right would legally have to come through another family. Then I thought of Joseph, the man to whom I was to be married. He was a descendant to David through Solomon. Would he be the father? But what the angel said didn't make me think this baby was coming from Joseph. So I asked, how can this be since I'm a virgin? I think Gabriel almost smiled. I wondered about that later. I think he was amused that I would have a problem with such a small detail. Here I had been told that God was going to break into history and set up a king on the throne of David who would be his very son and rule forever. And all I could think of was how I was going to get pregnant. But even that detail was a wonder beyond understanding. The angel explained that the Holy Spirit would come over me in such a way that the power of God would encompass, embrace, enclose me. In the shadow of his overarching glory, I would become with child. What a wonder. Certainly the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah in their old age had been miraculous. And the birth of John to Zacharias and my cousin Elizabeth was miraculous. But the birth of my baby was more than miraculous. It was unique. He would be born of a virgin. He would be conceived without a human father. He would be human and divine. He would be the Son of God and the son of a humble Nazarene girl. I told the angel, "Be it done to me according to your word." You know the rest of my story. Everything Gabriel announced to me came true. I eventually did marry Joseph. Even that first Christmas night, while I was cuddling my newborn baby in my arms, I raised my voice in wonder. There in the stable, we received a visit from some shepherds. They too had encountered an angel, in fact, a whole host of them. They were there to see my baby. When they left the stable, they were glorifying God and praising him for all they had seen and heard. They couldn't keep quiet. As wonderful and amazing as my baby's birth was, the real wonder was what was yet to come. Gabriel told me he would have the throne of David. Then an old man named Simeon made me think even more of what was coming. I still did not fully understand that Jesus would be the Savior of the world. With each passing year, since then, that wonder has deepened even more. The Savior would bring hope to a lost world, who would reign from the throne of David forever. How little did I know that dark and cold night on the plains of Bethlehem, what I held in that promised Savior, that one small child.
Angels were as excited about the Lord's coming to earth as you were. You see, we have been looking at the God-saving work for a long time, and still do. The night the Lord was finally born in Bethlehem, a host of my brothers actually went to inform some nearby shepherds, and from there, the joy began to spread.
Oh, hi. Come on over and sit by our fire. We don't get too many visitors out here in the fields.
Yeah, we're shepherds, and people in town tend to despise us. They think we're all thieves.
That's not to say that some aren't, but don't worry. Your purse is safe with our group.
Hope the smell doesn't bother you. We're out in the fields for weeks at a time and don't have many opportunities to wash.
I don't smell anything but sheep.
That would be us.
Now, what did you want to talk about the night the Messiah came? Oh, we know that real well, guys, don't we? We were there.
That night was like any other. We were tired. It was quiet. The fire felt good against the cold. Suddenly, the darkness was split with a blinding flash. We fell to the ground in fear. I remember covering my head and my eyes. It was terrifying. Something was there. It was an angel of God. The angel told us that just across the fields in the village of Bethlehem, the Messiah was born, the one all our people were waiting for. He even told us how to find him, in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes.
We kind of thought that was strange, for a king to be born amongst animals instead of a palace, but what do we know? We're just shepherds.
Well, we were just beginning to recover our senses when this angel was joined by a whole army of angels. The sky was filled with them. They were praising God, saying glory to God in the highest. Shepherding has never been so exciting. Then just as quickly as they came, they were gone. Now, we're not supposed to leave the fields, but we just had to see it for ourselves. I mean, we've left the sheep once before, right, guys? I mean, yeah, your dad was not happy.
Yeah, our dad can be kind of cranky sometimes.
Well, the village was crowded with visitors who were in town for a big Roman census. There's so many people. We went to the inn and then to the stables out back. Here we were a gaggle of dirty shepherds. A man who we took to be the baby's father stopped us just inside the door, anxious to preserve his wife's privacy, I think. We started to explain about the angels, and then his wife said, "It's all right, Joseph, let them in."
We made our way to the back of the stable, and there was the babe. But what could shepherds do? We fell on our knees before him. I wouldn't trade that moment for the world.
Well, by now you're thinking this all sounds pretty crazy. I mean, shepherds? Why would God reveal the birth of the Messiah first to shepherds? I don't know, but I'm not complaining.
We, the undesirables, we had found the Christ child. Others must hear this good news, too. We couldn't keep it in.
Oh, you'll never recognize our names, but that night God took those who were last and made them first. First to declare the joyful adoration of God.
You know, no one really wanted the Romans here, but it looked like they were here to stay. I was just a kid at the time when they came in, but I remember it well. They grabbed our country by the throat with an iron grip. They set up camps, built fortresses, and in many ways, though they treated us with respect, they gave us permission to practice our beliefs, and they let us build our synagogues. They didn't force us to violate our Sabbath, and even exempt us from service in the Roman army. But there was a cruel arrogance. They confiscated our homes, demoralized our nation, and they punished resistance ruthlessly. Slaves and foreigners crucified on Roman crosses, soldiers everywhere, garrison, horses, spears, armor. There can be no peace in this land as long as Rome rules. Some in our land dare to plot rebellion, zealots. Many have died, and I fear many more will too. I belong to a small group of men and women who are looking for God's solution to the problem of Rome. We believe he has one. Our prophets have written that one day God himself will restore Israel to blessing, joy, and peace. So we do not plan raids, and we do not keep secret caches of arms. But we do earnestly anticipate a day when Israel will be free from oppression. That day is coming. God has promised. My name is Simeon. I'm not a priest. I'm not even a Levite. I have no special duties in the temple other than the duty of all God's people to honor and worship him. I believe the promises of God. Would you think me strange if I told you that one time I received a personal message from God? God does give messages to men, you know, often by way of his angels. It happened like this. I had been praying from the Psalms. Why are the nations in uproar and the peoples devising vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You may know how that psalm goes. Anyway, in my heart, I was laughing. What a joy it would be to see all the warring kings silenced by God's king when he gives him the nations for an inheritance. The peace and joy that God brings will be real. And as I prayed, I thought these things. God made a promise to me. He told me that I would live to see the arrival of his anointed. What does a man do with such a promise? Since the book said that God would install his king upon Zion, his holy mountain, I began to spend all the time I could in the temple. I was there with the crowd for each of the regular times of prayer and sacrifice. I was there many other times too. I chanted the Psalms day after day, worshiping God in my heart. I was there all the time, but I was there most of the time. One day I saw a young woman and her husband bring their new baby to the temple. This is not unusual, for many babies are born and presented in Jerusalem. Our law requires that after giving birth to a son, a woman cannot enter the temple until after her purification service on the 40th day. That is when the child is presented in dedication. Many old women come to the temple each day and like to make a fuss over the babies. Temple grannies, I call them. It's not unusual for the parents to let one of the women hold their child and pray for them. When this couple entered the courtyard, I knew that this was the child God had promised. I hurried over to them and held out my arms just like an old temple granny. I asked to hold their baby. Of course, the young woman looked quickly at her husband, who merely smiled and nodded. She gently held out the baby, and I took him in my arms. My eyes filled with tears. This was the promised Messiah. Joyful was I. You never saw a more joyful old man than I was on that day. I thanked God and knew that after this big event, I would be ready to go. God would now allow me to die in peace. We did not live in a very peaceful or joyful land, but this baby was going to change that. This small boy would bring salvation, a light to all nations, the glory of Israel. This was peace. This was joy. Well, I handed the infant back to his mother, who had quite the bewildered look. I had said quite a bit more than most temple grannies, I suppose. I could tell they had not expected all that I had tried to explain what God had promised me. As I watched this young mother's face, I caught a sudden, terrible glimpse of her future. Her son would purchase peace and joy, but at a great cost, his very own life. But not only would he lay his life down for the sins of the world, he would take it up again and return to his wonderful heaven. But even better, he will one day return for all who have believed on him to bring salvation, return to bring freedom to his precious Israel. Such things do not bring joy to Israel alone, for Jesus is more than King of the Jews. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His joy is for more than Israel. Jesus Christ brings joy to the world.
without Christ is what you humans call an oxymoron. Christmas is about Christ. The manger was the start of a saving work on earth. The cross was the finished. It is finished, he cried out on the cross. There is nothing more to be done for your eternal life in heaven, friend. Christ did it all on the cross. Allow me the pleasure of doing my job yet again this morning. I have a message for you. Christ died, rose from the dead, and he lives today. Why? So that you may have eternal life with him one day in heaven. That is good news, because without him, you will have only eternal death in hell. Will you not accept this message and believe on Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, right now? You will have no other joy like it for eternity. Listen, I was the first to speak. It was my voice that disclosed Christmas was coming. A momentous message that need not be one of fear, but rather of hope and joy. Will you not stand and raise your voice in song? I actually believe one of your human leaders is going to come up and lead you in singing to God the song, Joy to the World.